Deacaholics, welcome. Episode 165 of the Deacon and Co. Show got you covered. It's been a long wait, a very long wait, but the wait is no longer. I'm going to do the top 10 Metallica cover songs of all time today. Just everything that's been going on, especially with the tribute show and everything else. I thought it was a good time to do that. So we got a fun-filled show for you today. For any of you that are new listeners, thank you for tuning in. I'm Deacon. For the old listeners, welcome! I'm back! Regular episode for you. I got to say thank you for everybody that tuned in for the NHL and NBA previews. Those are long, tedious episodes on round one, and it's like, by the time, if you're not familiar with like rattling off numbers like that, it can really fuck with you and really get inside your head and make you dizzy and all kinds of shit. There's a lot of numbers, a lot of shit that was spitting out. And, you know, thus far, what we saw is not anything that was expected. These series are not even close games. They're just really just blowouts, and it's really hard to watch, and it's even harder to gamble on when one game you got a team that wins by 40, the next game they lose by 10. So it's very difficult and streaky or whatever you want to call it. But nevertheless, let's get into it. Today is the 27th of April, last Saturday in April, and we go on to our warmer months and party time. Cinco de Mayo next week. It's going to be fun. Let's see here. Some Met news. Not really anything much going on. Just some sales and stuff. We got big events coming up next month where I'm going to need all of your help and donations for chapters and whatnot. And we'll get into that next month. We got a lot of stuff going on next month. Don't forget, Genius of the Week is also having our Battle Royale for the top four for the half of the year. We're going to pin them against the four that are going to come because you know there's going to be more geniuses. Well, we almost had a genius today. So we'll get into our Genius of the Week there. It's fun. It's a fun one. Real fun one. But nevertheless, here we go. Quick sports update. As I just mentioned, basketball all over the place. We have some funerals going on this afternoon that I strongly was thinking about attending the funerals. Only because of the simple fact of how the behavior is of some of these animals. I mean, Islander fans. But Islanders down 3-0 today. Tough task. They're not going to, you know, miraculously win 4 in a row versus Carolina. But let's see if they can avoid the sweep today. Their fans don't think so since the ticket prices are dropping for under $100. Some of them in the case of under $80. And if you want to sit in the fucking nosebleed, it's probably going to be about $20 by the time the game starts. That's a 2 o'clock start. Florida, surprisingly, up 3-0 on Tampa Bay. And Tampa Bay really, in the last game, did not really looked like they were in it. They just out of it the whole time. It really was just, you know, it's sad to watch this team that was dominant for so many years get dominated like this. And I guess, you know, now the run is over, rebuilding or whatnot. They have a strong head coach in John Cooper, one of the best, and won't be worried. Maybe next season they'll be on the same page, everybody be healthy. Let's not forget that Vasilevsky missed a good portion of the year for Tampa Bay. So we'll see what happens, but that game is 3-0. Boston, Toronto, 2-1 Boston, and that's later on. And, you know, like I said, you know, there's certain teams that you want to try to avoid, certain teams that you kind of want to, you know, obviously stay very, very clear of if you possibly can. And the Dallas Stars, being the best team in the Western Conference, drew the shortest straw, which was a problem. And the injuries that happened during the season with Mark Stone and Jack Eichel, you could see the difference of this team. The first goal of this series, Dallas and Vegas, was scored by Mark Stone, the captain. Played hurt all throughout the Stanley Cup run last year, and this team is fucking dangerous. And I said it, and the only team that beat the Rangers twice, and that's something that is in the back of my mind that I won't forget if that's the teams that get there. Rangers also, for those that don't know, live under a rock, or one game away from sweeping the Washington Capitals as well. That'll be tomorrow. But tonight, Dallas heading to Vegas for that critical game 3 for Dallas. Good luck. I don't think they're coming back now, but if you definitely lose tonight, you can say goodbye. NBA, you got Cleveland going to Orlando. 2-1 for Cleveland in that series. Orlando looking to tie it up. OKC traveling to New Orleans, up 2-0 there for the Thunder. Surprisingly, the Boston Celtics found a way to lose game two at home to Miami. Now they're going on the road tonight to Miami, 1-1 on that series. And funeral for a friend sure does fucking apply. The Los Angeles Lakers about to get swept by the Denver Nuggets. This is now 11 straight games that the Lakers have lost to the Nuggets, and it'll be 12 tonight. I don't see the Lakers pulling off this miracle. It doesn't happen. Never has happened in the history of the NBA. Down 3-0. Has any team come back three times in hockey? And doesn't happen often. You gotta take a team that has a real strong mental perseverance to be down 0-3 to not give up. Your fans already are giving up. I don't know what else more that you don't want to believe or believe there, but it is what it is. That's our sports update. Like I said, complete shockers. This is just, to me, it's a joke of what we've watched thus far, and you're seeing it. You're seeing the difference of skill between the top point teams and the lower end of the teams. I thought for a second it might be a smart idea for the Lakers to turn around and throw their play-in game so they would have to not play Denver. And it didn't matter. We're still going to have to play Denver either way. So if they come off as an 8 seed, the path to Denver might have led them in the Western Conference again having to play OKC, which the Lakers have played really well against this year. And then you would move on to obviously you would turn around and that the lower seed would be there, you know, and maybe New Orleans would play Denver tougher, but I don't know at this point. I just know that it's a disappointing end to the Lakers season with 49 wins, and that's or 47 rather, that they're gonna stay with, and it sucks, you know. I didn't expect LeBron James to go out in four games again to the Denver Nuggets. That's the difference. And everybody wants to sit there and they want to say, okay, listen, this is, this is Michael Jordan. He's the best player. And here goes the conversation about it. You remember all the way back in the beginning of season one, I broke down the stats for you and the comparisons of what that Michael Jordan won 21 out of 21 categories over LeBron James. Now, let's also keep in mind that no matter what you do, this is the way I look at things. You can justify any type of action by numbers, and the numbers don't lie for Michael Jordan. 6 championships, 6 MVP, final MVPs. On this list of things that Michael Jordan has done in accolades over his career versus LeBron James's career, didn't take him 20 years to do these things. It took Michael Jordan 14. And really 13, if you think about it. And how do you compare and compete with somebody who left the game with the ability to win at least another one or two more championships? Just imagine if that crazy brain inside Michael Jordan's head said, let me go and follow to go with Phil to L.A. and Michael Jordan was a Laker. I don't even know where would it, you know how many Laker fans or closet Laker fans there already are? Michael Jordan was there, it would just be through the roof. Jordan, Kobe, Shaq, I mean, it's unstoppable. It really is unstoppable. That was just, a thought of a dream team or whatnot. But anyway, moving on here. One last thing I wanted to bring up about sports here is Reggie Heisman. That's the way we start calling him. Reggie Bush actually had his Heisman Trophy award returned back to him because of the whole scandal that was going on earlier in his life and in his college career. Took a long, long time to get it, but the Heisman Trophy is back in his possession, and they felt that he deserved it. Yeah, well, he did deserve it, and he took that for all the things that, people wanted to do. I mean, just look at Any Given Sunday, best sports movie ever. I don't care what anybody says. It's not Rudy. It's not Hoosiers, okay? It's Any Given Sunday. Did you want to know the truth about what really goes on behind sports? Yeah, they're blowing lines off titties in the locker room. I'm telling you, that's what's going down. These guys are making fucking millions. You don't think they're doing that? So now you turn around and you have the aspect of things where, you don't perform in this league. Obviously, you're still getting paid or whatnot, but it goes behind in a lot deeper than that on these thoughts of you turning around and, a lot of bad moves get made every single day in sports to fuck people over. And it's just, ridiculous that how, you know, mentioned in the movie, okay, well, yeah, I took a suit to go to a wedding from a guy when I was in college, and they tried to fuck me and said, oh, yeah, I'm selling this and doing that. It was the same thing with Reggie Bush. He was taking endorsements. Listen, the guy was a superstar. We knew what was going to happen. He knew what was going to happen. And, you know, it's a real fine line that, you know, they made it different now with endorsements for sports for college kids and whatnot. But, listen, you know, it's still not, you know, okay. Why? Why is it not okay if somebody turns around and says, okay, listen, I'm a superstar, I'm going to be this, and I want to sell my cleats to somebody for $10,000 because I'm a fucking college kid that comes from the projects that I can't afford this? I don't see anything wrong with it. I don't. It's that person's chance who's taking it that's going to buy it for $10,000 that doesn't, you know if this guy's going to be a superstar or not. But you could tell, obviously, you know, the bust and whatnot. Recently, speaking of college guys, O.J. Simpson passed away. Cancer. So, you know, listen, nobody liked the juice. Nobody ran like the juice. Juice was the best college running back that ever lived. Came to the NFL, did what he had to do, did some bad things. Whether he murdered somebody or not, everybody can envy him and say, okay, wish I could fucking murder somebody and get away with it. You know, but it's clear that there was something wrong with OJ. If OJ lived the rest of his life without going, you know, committing any crimes or whatever, this guy was frequently in the system and it was just something that was missed or whatever. Rest in peace to you, OJ. Juice is no longer loose, everyone. All right. Fun fact of the day here. We had National Pretzel Day yesterday. Today is National Day of Puppetry. Master of Puppets. Absolutely. And Save the Frog Day. How can we forget about the frogs? How could we forget about them? Seriously. But let's get into our... let's not get into our hot take, because there's a couple things that I wanted to bring up to you guys. A couple of just notes and whatnot before we get into the hot take and get into the rest of the show. Devil's Comet. First time in 71 years that we're able to see it. If you guys get a chance to have not gotten a chance to check it out, I think you should. It's, you can just go to an open area on the beach particularly and look next to Jupiter and you should see it. It's the brightest that it'll be. It's here until July, but it's the brightest that it'll be this week to be visible for everyone to see it. So there's still a couple more days that you're able to do that. See, Genius of the Week, we got that. Lego Jaws. Now, I told you guys I was on a Lego kick, so Lego Jaws comes out August 1st, and I think it's cool because they got, like, the little boat and then Jaws, the shark itself. That's going to be fun. So August 1st for all you Lego fans out there. Headbangers Draft Special, our buddy Brett from Headbangers Closet. All right, one of the fucking top two metal guys that I know, maybe top three, because you got to include Doc, Ralph, and him that just fucking love metal. He'll be joining us in a couple weeks to do a draft special, and it's going to be fun, man. The reason why not only of Brett and I hit it off so well is there's not many people out there, as you know, that like sports and music like this. So for him to turn around, he's my college guy. He's messaging me all week before the draft, telling me what's going to happen. All of a sudden, I look at my phone, it happens, and it's just like, wow, like, this guy really knows his shit. And, you know, appreciate you always, man. Thank you so much. And, you know, I want to see this guy more on the road this year. He goes to so many metal shows, it's tough for him to go on tour, but we'll definitely link up in one of the shows. So that's coming up in a couple weeks. Let's see here. TikTok update. So there was a controversial issue going on with TikTok. So the Deacon and Co show will now not be going on TikTok and there might be no TikTok within the next 9 months. So I will keep you guys updated on the next option of what I'm going to do, and we'll go from there. AC/DC climbing back into the charts, nearly having almost a number one hit again from a song that was just old, and I love it because now you're getting in these new generations of rock fans and kids and whatnot that are coming in that are listening to this, and it really is really something spectacular, because, you know, it's just, to me, I just think that when you're talking about, you know, AC/DC, especially too with the, you know, the success that they have had, and it's a long time that they haven't toured, this is a big deal. And you start turning around and you start, you know, telling people, okay, listen, here we go. There's people, kids, you know, obviously that turn around and they're like, all right, including myself, I'm not a kid, but AC/DC is the one band I didn't get to see, and I will see them. I will see them as long as they're performing. I will see them. Obviously not the same without Bon Scott. Would have loved to see Bon Scott. Bon Scott, to me, is one of the fucking best lead frontmen of all time. And maniac. Fucking maniac. Let's see. Last note I wanted to bring up is there a reason why I spit out the email address about 14 times during each show is because of the fact that for people that are paying attention, that are going deep inside the mind of where I'm going by listening to this show, once again, thank you. There was two songs that I forgot on the top 10 all-time drugs list that I just don't know how. Busy week, as I said, trying to get it all squeezed in. But Comfortably Numb by Pink Floyd and Life in the Fast Lane by the Eagles definitely have to be somewhere in added into my list, because there's no way you could have, you know, those songs not on the list there. Although the songs that were given by that list that I provided for you guys were kind of shitty, not kind of shitty. I agreed with a lot of them, but there's just certain things that you can't forget. Like, you know, you can't, no offense to anybody, but you can't take a cover song, no pun intended, and use it as like the original song, like, or turn around and say, okay, well, the number one song on a list is a cover song. It doesn't work like that. It really just, in my eyes, it doesn't work like that. Anyway, so moving forward with that, fun fact of the day, we got that done. Hot take, here we go. You knew I was going to bring it up. I'm trying not to get too sentimental about this and pissed off, but it always fucking happens. Once again, Iron Maiden was snubbed from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So who gets in first here, Motorhead or Iron Maiden? Man, I don't know. I don't know if Motorhead's going to get in anytime soon with Lemmy not being here. I don't think Iron Maiden's getting in. I don't know. I don't know who gets in first. That's just a tough question there. But if I had to pick one, I would say that Iron Maiden's going to get in before Motorhead. Tough one there. DeaconAndCoShow@gmail.com. Let me know what your thoughts are. Who gets in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame first? So let's get into topic number one here. The Rock Class 2024. This is going to be a very short topic because this is very disgusting when I read off this list. If you guys have not heard already, who are this year's inductees? So 2024 class are Mary J. Blige, Cher, Dave Matthews Band, Foreigner, Peter Frampton, Kool and the Gang, Ozzy Osbourne, and A Tribe Called Quest. Now, Jimmy Buffett, Dionne Warwick, and Norman Whitfield were selected as recipients of the Musical Excellence Award. So this was this year was announced on American Idol, and it's going to be taking place on Saturday the 19th in Rocket Mortgage Field in Cleveland, Ohio. I was just there, nice arena, very small. And it'll air on ABC with a later date and Disney Plus. So, okay, now I'm really, really, really super happy that Foreigner is in. Huge Foreigner fan. But again, the other people that are on this list, I mean, this year is a little bit better when it comes to more rock than anything else, okay? But unfortunately, I gotta respect the people that are behind there. And as much as I hate Ozzy, he, for whatever reason, captures and, you know, has a cult following. And he's, you know, again, it's really not, I don't like Ozzy. So it's very difficult for me to sit here and say congratulations or whatnot. But I feel like now Ozzy, later stages of his life, he's not doing well health-wise, that, like, just throw this guy a bone and, you know, get him in as a solo artist or whatever it is. There's so many people that are out there deserving of a better, you know, nominee or inductee. What about Green Day? What about The Offspring? I mean, there's so many that could have been before that. And now, unfortunately, you got to call it classic rock. Because the albums are 25 years old, which meets the criteria of them getting eligible for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But like I said, very, very, very happy that Foreigner was there. And, you know, as much as I don't like this band, they also have a cult following of Dave Matthews Band. You know, talking about top six sellers of all time, they're behind Metallica. People go to see these fucking shows. I couldn't tell you one song by Dave Matthews. I won't even give them a fucking chance. And that's maybe sad to say or whatever, but I just don't like the name of your fucking band. I don't care how talented you are. Dave Matthews Band? Like, it just, come on, bro. Like, that. Where are you guys going tonight? You know, we're going to see the New Orleans Pelicans. All right, cool. Where are you guys going? The Bayou? Like, Dave Matthews Band. Okay, who the fuck is Dave Matthews? Like, whatever. Anyway, moving forward there. So, yeah, that's the rock class. Cher is great. Not Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, though. Some of the other people on there, You know, just no. The answer is no. Get the people who deserve to be in there first. How long did it take you to get Judas Priest? It took them, let's see, 11 years to in between metal bands. So having Metallica come in 11 years, 12 years later, here comes Judas Priest. They're going to wait 10 more years to get fucking Iron Maiden in there. Like, it's just unreal. Topic number two here. Heard it earlier. Let's fucking do it. Loudwire is going to provide us with this. Metallica's top best cover songs, and this list might shock a little bit, but differs from mine in a few. All right, number 10 here, Metallica covers Leonard Skinner's "Tuesday's Gone." You could hear a lot of that in like "Load and Reload," of James going, you know, trying to reach out to a countryside, and just with the vocals, and you know, you listen to things over the years, and you listen to something that was coming out during the early 80s or whatnot, and you look now about how James's voice matured. You know, you gotta really think about, like, you know, he has progressed as a singer, progressed as a musician over the course of time since he has, you know, started this or whatnot. So I definitely do think that his voice is better now than it was in the 80s or whatnot. Number nine here is this one, only because of the fact of what it is here, okay? Metallica took Bob Seger's "Turn the Page," and they turned around and they sped it up, and they took a slow song and they made it really, really fast, heavier, and they did a good job. They nailed it. I particularly am not a fan of their cover of Bob Seger, because that song is just sentimental to me. It was one of my dad's favorite songs, and I can always picture when the fucking sax comes on in the beginning, him saying, you know, "On a lonely, lonesome highway, east of Omaha," like that, just, and that's it. That's all he would say. Wouldn't sing the rest of the song, but I knew that that was one of his favorite songs there. So for me, Bob Seger, it's like the only time that I may ever go against Metallica, but I do like Bob Seger's version better. Number eight, Stone Cold Crazy by Queen. Yeah, they used to play this a lot, especially during like the 90s or whatnot. Definitely Queen was an influence for them, obviously, and they do a really good version of it. Number seven, which on this list, it's really back. Again, this is from Loudwire. This cover, 1949 cover of Thin Lizzy's "Whiskey in a Jar," comes in at 7. I definitely think this needs to be a lot higher on the list here. The Small Hours, number 6 by The Holocaust. They put this out on the Garage Days, Inc. Listen, this is Metallica covering other metal bands. This is just, you know, taking a song that sounded good lyrically, and Metallica just made it sound even better. Number 5, "So What," from the Anti-Nowhere League. Again, another one that used to get played quite a lot at shows. You're not going to really hear that shit much anymore. Number 4 is "Helpless" by Diamond Head. Obviously, Diamond Head was one of the biggest influences on Metallica, so it would be right to have that in there. Number 3, love it. I think it's somewhere near where it needs to be. Metallica took Budgie's "Bread Fan" and just fucking destroyed it. And it was just crazy because I only got to hear "Bread Fan" live once. And it was at that time that Ney got up at the end of "Fixer," which nobody ever heard "Fixer" live before. It was like, all right, I'm out of here. I don't know this fucking song. I'm out of here. Went up, and then all of a sudden, everyone's in the crowd is yelling, and you hear James like, "I got something to tell you guys." And everyone's like, "Fuel, Fuel." And he's like, "No, Bradford." And I was just like, wow. And at that moment, you know, that was the night that I tripped out. So when I heard "Bread Fan," I was like, holy shit. He was so fast on singing "Bread Fan." The song was like, just unreal. But did get to see it. Ney probably heard it from the fucking merch stand, because that's where she went to get some water. So she probably heard it, but I don't think she's seen it there. Number 2 here, I love it. I got somewhat of the top 3 in somewhat of an order there, but number 3, The Misfits, "Die Die My Darling." I mean, just short, quick tune, and just nonstop. There's literally all James does for the 2 minutes and 19 seconds, or 2 minutes and 39 seconds, whatever it is, he just sings. There's no stoppage. When you think there's going to be a stoppage, he just keeps going, and it's awesome. It's one of their best cover songs. Number 1 on this list, and I expected this, obviously, to be high, on the list, all right, is Am I Evil by Diamond Head. And this obviously is one of the first songs that Metallica ever played because of the influence from them. The deluxe remastered version of Ride the Lightning does have this on there. There were a couple songs on this list, one or two, that were not in the top 10 that I felt that Metallica did really well. But that overall, that's a pretty solid list. I mean, you're going to get their most, obviously, their most famous cover songs. You're listening to the radio, you're going to hear Turn the Page. And, you know, that's probably just about the only cover song that you're going to hear from them on the radio itself. But anybody who really, really enjoyed the Funeral for a Friend cover by Metallica for Elton John, then you really should pick up Garage Days. It's definitely for you. And listen, you could turn around and, you know, you could say anything you want about cover songs. There is not one Metallica song that anybody else could cover and would be better than the original artist. These songs just provided are better than the original artist. Maybe with the exception of Tuesday's Gone, Stone Cold Crazy, and obviously my feeling of Turn the Page, but I feel like I'm the only one who feels that way. You turn around and they, you know, some things are just left to be done. Just not done and left alone. And that's how I feel about covers. My list here. Bow, bow, bow. All right, number 10 here. I had to put this one on the list because I had to have a filler because I don't really like covers. So number 10, Funeral for a Friend. I thought it was much more than what I expected here. And for, you know, not to be, you know, fucked up here or anything or one-sided here, but for other people to have performed songs by Elton as well as they did, which they did. The other artists did perform those songs well. But for Elton and Bernie to continuously, multiple times on the broadcast, mention how Metallica is the greatest band that ever lived, that on this fucking planet, and they came out and they fucking nailed it. And that's number 10. Number 9 here is Stone Cold Crazy by Queen. Metallica covering it. I think it's a good version of this song. Again, arguably Queen could have done it better because it's Freddie Mercury, one of the best of all time. But that would be number 9 on my list. So now, yeah, and you can hear, obviously, it's just a tad bit faster. And, I mean, listen, for you to keep up with the way that Freddie Mercury sang, I mean, James did a great job there on that one. Number 8 here, Last Caress. That was something that was not on there. And, this one, I really do like this song, all right? And, it's fast. And, listen, this is what Metallica's all about. Take a song like this if they see something in potential, like, you know, if you ever hear the original version of Whiskey in a Jar, it sounds like a bunch of fucking leprechauns. I hate Thin Lizzy as it is, but to take them to turn around and speed that up the way that they did, not missing a fucking beat, and obviously it's not easy. Another one that used to get played quite often there at shows, and that has been a long time since they played it or whatnot, but sensitive subjects to some. But look, Metallica takes these things and makes it. I mean, if you try to listen to the original, I don't know if you get the same satisfaction out of listening to I Killed Your Baby Today and I Raped Your Mother. But with at least Metallica, at least it sounds good, right? Nevertheless, number 7 here on my list is Turn the Page, and it has to be because of the success that it has. But listen, it's something that Howard Stern said 2 years ago that really fucking set me off. It's like, oh, I love Metallica's Turn the Page because it doesn't have that fucking pussy-ass saxophone in it. Quote, end quote. Yeah, so you could hear the clear differences on there. I mean, James still nails it. And, you know, just personal opinion, I like Bob Seger's better. DeeganAndCoShow@gmail.com. Let me know which one you think is better, Metallica version or Bob Seger. All right, number 6 here. I'm super fucking shocked that this wasn't on a top 10 list of all time, but it has to be. We'll give it back to you. Absolutely one of their biggest influences, Motorhead, Overkill. Here we go. I mean, just I hear that, and it's like, you know, it very distinctly you could tell, obviously, if you're a fan like I am of who it is. But I mean, it's really difficult to turn around, and if you hear that for 10 seconds, to know if it's either Motorhead or Metallica. It's just an instinct that people have that if they're huge mega fans, you'll be like, all right, listen, I know that's Metallica, but it sure sounds a lot like Motorhead. James did a great job on trying to get as high as he could, like Lemmy did. And one of my favorites to hear that. My favorite rendition of it is when the Big Four got on at Yankee Stadium. Everybody from Anthrax, Megadeth, Slayer, Metallica all got on and did that. And that was fucking awesome. Number 5, another one that I'm really, really like shocked there that it's not, it wasn't on that list or whatnot. But Blitzkrieg. Yeah, this one I got to hear Blitzkrieg at the Donnie and Marsha tribute show, and it was fucking awesome. Again, on the remastered version of Ride the Lightning, you could find this song. Yeah. Definitely sounds like Metallica there. I just took it and made their own rendition of it. Now we get into here. Top five here. That was number five, right? Then we go number four here. I didn't think this was their best cover song. A lot of people do. But I will tell you that Nay and I have been at the shows where they have performed this song the last two times. They have not performed it in its entirety in 10 years prior to the 40th anniversary show. Am I Evil? Full of them in that fucking song. There is no way that anybody in their right mind could tell me that Diamond Head performed this song better. Thank you for writing it, Diamond Head. Thank you for being a huge influence on the greatest band that ever lived. You were the stepping stone. Thank you so much. All right, here we go. Top three. A little different for me in this order here from what you just heard on that list. But number three, Die, Die, My Darling. Don't utter a single word. Yes, Misfits cover there. Excellent. Number two, I'm going to bring us down into the top two here, all right? So, I'm not in agreement that this song should be number seven on Loudwire's list, but it is number two on mine. Whiskey in a Jar, Metallica. We'll be right back. Yeah, absolutely. Great renditions of it. I've heard that song so many times live. It's just awesome. Awesome to hear it. Depends on what crowd you're at. Loudest I've ever heard a crowd sing that song is in Slane Castle in Ireland, but pretty close was at Boston Calling. Those guys went fucking ape shit. There's a lot of leprechauns over there. Nothing against Irish people. I mean, nothing against them. I just call everybody who's Irish a leprechaun, so please don't be offended. That'll bring us down to our number one song. And a long time ago, I went on a show, and they asked me what I thought the Metallica best cover is that I don't like covers. Well, listen, I never got more excited than I heard any other cover than when I heard Bread Fan. Bread Fan is number one for me. And listen, we're going to thank Budgie, all right? Nobody knew who the fuck Budgie was except for Lars and James. Thank you, Budgie. Metallica put you on the map. Yeah, and the end of the song, there's a little girl that comes on, and it's like, Flapper! It's fucking great. Fucking great. Sick fucks out there in the world, you're talking and listening to one of them. Thank you. Bread Fan, that's my number one. That concludes the top 10 Metallica cover songs of all time. I hope you enjoyed it. If you feel that I missed any of them, please, deaconandcoshow@gmail.com. All right, bringing us in here to Genius of the Week. Now, oh, man. Can only imagine what's coming out of my mouth next if I got a pause like that. So a couple months back, we had our buddy who was, doing his thing and was letting his balls drop on salads and food cafeterias. Well, about 2 miles away from the location of that gentleman in New Jersey, there was another man who was arrested for ejaculating in Wendy's hamburgers. Ejaculation. People are extra creamy burgers. That's terrible. That's disgusting. Glad that the guy was caught or whatnot. I mean, how could you pull that off? All right. I mean, the only way I'm thinking here is you're going to jerk off in a cup, or because you obviously don't have enough time to go into the bathroom while people are waiting on the drive-thru line or waiting inside to get their food. Jerk off in a fucking cup. Maybe save it. Well, fuck knows. Dump it on there periodically as you hear rough customers or whatever it was. But working in retail and working in fast food and that kind of thing is not easy, all right? It's not easy to deal with rushes, you know? It's not easy to deal with the people. I get it, you know? Try to be as nice as possible to the people that handle your food. Don't say anything until you get the bill. Don't say anything until after you eat. So that's the golden rule. But Genius of the Week? Absolutely. Now, I find that more hysterical than anything that this would go on. And, like, the crazy thing is, like, how would you determine, like, you know, this may sound ignorant, you know, I'd have to look this up, but, I mean, if somebody is having a DNA sample from somebody else, can they get it if the person is swallowing it? I don't know. So that's, you know, like, I mean, how does one go about knowing that there is cum on their hamburger unless, you know, hey, you know, they know what cum tastes like, right? So I don't think it's going to make, this particular genius is going to make the cut for the top four. But it's pretty fucking funny. And yes, it is a Genius of the Week. Bringing us down to behind the lyric. We are on it. We are on it. Here we go. And I think this is, if I'm not mistaken, the last one that we will have to hear from our dear asshole friend, Dave Mustaine, getting some title credits on here. All right. Ride the Lightning title track from the second album here, okay? What a fucking great song. Talk About Ride the Lightning, and in my opinion, behind Master of Puppets, Ride the Lightning is the best instrumental song that Metallica has. The tempo changes. I'm going to let you guys hear the first two verses for those that have not heard it or have not heard it in a while. And go from there. There's a lot to talk about on this one here. All right. So, James Hetfield, Lars Ulrich, Cliff Burton, Dave Mustaine. Song title credits here. All right. Here we go. Genesis. During the recording of Kill 'Em All at Barrett Alley Studios in Rochester, New York. In May of 1983, the members of Metallica were staying with Gary Zepting, a friend of the recording engineer Chris Babsick, and well-known in the neighborhood as a piano and synthesizer salesman at a local music lover's store. It was on a friendly and unfortunate man's couch that the musicians would destroy his house and even apologize for it on the back of the album, that Kirk Hammett got the idea of phrase Ride the Lightning. Engrossed in Stephen King's novel The Stand, Hammett was particularly interested in a character named Lloyd Henry, a prisoner awaiting trial that would undoubtedly end him on death row. During the interview with his defense lawyer, who struggles to envision a positive outcome for the trial, the prisoner asked what will happen next. His lawyer replies, "Then you go on death row at state prison and just enjoy all the good food until it's time to ride the lightning." Wow. Hetfield was inspired by this image of the man facing his inevitable death and wrote some powerful lyrics that perfectly encapsulated the band's new direction, highlighting human contradictions and individual relationships to their own condition. We just got into some social topics. Yeah, it's a real social topic, explained James Hetfield. The death penalty was a big question, and the electric chair, that's heavy. What if it was you mistakenly? That was what the song is about. Being accidentally found guilty and put to death and no way to stop it. It was just a matter of putting myself into other people's situations and trying to get those feelings out. For the instrumental part of the song, Kirk Hammett not only destroys it, added by me, who is not given co-writing credits on this track, which is bullshit. He explains that it was inspired riff by Dave Mustaine that rediscovered on a riff tape. It was a prior riff that brought back, obviously didn't make the cut for Kill 'Em All, and it was full of ideas that the band member recorded in their spare time. Mustaine was then by then involved with his new band, Megadeth, later commented about the track. "I got them using my songs a long time ago. You can obsess on shit like that, or you can let it go, and nothing is going to change it." That kind of sounds like the man's a tad bit bitter. Does anybody disagree with that? Fuck Dave Mustaine. The crazy thing was, I got an alert the other day to go see Megadeth at the Jones Beach Theater on Long Island. And I think I might go in there for $9 a ticket and see Dave Mustaine. I think I should see him once. Production here, besides its thorny subject matter, the song stands out for its ambitious guitar solo. Like I said earlier, before I even started reading this. All right. Unreal. And with a lot of folks that say that, you know, it was Fade to Black, that's the first solo for Kirk. I mean, all right. You know, this is something that is unbelievably, you know, I mean, it's not on a top 10 Metallica fastest songs list, but it should be on there. And this song is super fast. And when you hear it live, it just smacks you in the fucking face. Let's see here. All right. Besides the Kirk Hammett solo, all right, there is, which was written by Cliff Burton. Hammett remembered, "I thought he'd just grab a bass and show me, but no, he had write out all the notes on my solo piece of paper. Then he grabbed the pencil and went through it and notated, 'If you're playing E, then G, then A, then C.' I'm looking at him like, what? But I took the paper and worked it all out, and you know what? It was perfect." Hammett used three different guitars during the recording of Ride the Lightning, his famous black and white Gibson Flying V and his red Fernandez, Stratocaster, and a black Fernandez he nicknamed Edna. But he has never specified which one was plugged into the tube pedal for the recording of legendary Ride the Lightning solo. On Kill 'Em All, a distortion manufactured by Boss was chosen. This having the time have been stolen shortly after recording Metallica's first album. On the picture, you can find this on page 69 of Metallica, All the Songs. There is a picture with Lars with more hair than James at this point, next to Kirk, 1983-84 realm. Yeah, that's it. I love doing these because obviously that's super cool that you hear shit that you don't know what it is or whatnot, and you know, like, or you don't know the meaning behind it or what it is. A lot of people turn around and they interpret things the long way, you know, the wrong way. I guess as a music artist, you turn around and you're telling, you know, telling somebody what exactly the song is written about. But yes, sometimes people could feel that it's completely different and relates to them in a completely different way. There's no way to fuck up what Ride the Lightning is. And for those that don't know, yes, Ride the Lightning is taking a trip in the electric chair. Again, this is my second favorite Metallica song. This, if there was no Master of Puppets, this is Master of Puppets. Here we go. Track number two, 1984, Ride the Lightning. Good God! Almost didn't want to turn it off there. What more can you say about that? Hearing that live every time that I do, it's not so much about the content of what they're talking about. Again, this is talking about the sound. When you go into the end, okay, and you hear, and this is going to speed up. I'm going to play the rest of it for you in just a second. It's speeding up, and there's nothing. I'm in my own head. Whether I'm tripping out or I'm sober, I'm in my own head. I'm basically humming and singing the sound that I'm hearing. It's just nonstop. And obviously, the faster the music goes, the faster my head goes. So when the beat drops and you fucking hear it go, yeah. One cool thing about a note, too, that they don't do anymore is they used to have an electric chair come down in some arenas, and they used to just spark out all kinds of laser lightning and shit, and it was really cool. Really was. But continuing on here, okay, here we go. Is the rest of it. Enjoy.
Yeah.
Wow. Just wow. Ugh, yeah. Guilty as charged. Love it. Ride the Lightning. Decaholics. All right, let's bring us into rapids here. Rapid number one. Can the Denver Nuggets be dethroned? Lakers, right? Lakers had an 18-point lead, a 14-point lead, and a 13-point lead in the first three games, and they blew it every time. I don't think anybody in the Western Conference is strong enough to touch Denver. I don't care what the other series are going on and what they're doing. I don't think that the Denver Nuggets will be beat until they play in the finals. Rapid number two here. More of a threat here for the New York Rangers, the Carolina Hurricanes, or the Florida Panthers. I almost said Carolina Panthers. You know, it's not football season yet, but we are having our draft. So, to me, I think it's the Florida Panthers. Carolina, we know what we're getting into. We know it's going to be a 7-game series. We know it's not going to be any sweep in that round there. Best scenario here for the Rangers to do is win tomorrow, do the sweep. Carolina is probably most likely 99% going to win today. They'll get the rest. They'll have the most maximum rest possible for both teams going into a physical series like that. I think that Florida is a tough team and top teams that, you know, I feel Boston's going to play to Florida. I don't think that Boston's going to have enough to beat them. Florida's too much, and the ultimate revenge would be from last year, you know, coming down, coming back for Florida, winning that series, Game 7 in Boston there to, you know, after Boston had their lead. I think that would be a good revenge story, but it's not going to happen there. Florida, Rangers, Eastern Conference Finals, get your fucking popcorn ready. Rapid number three here, our last one of the day. One cover song that you'd like to hear Metallica cover. That's a tough one because I don't like cover songs. I don't know how many times I got to say it. But I guess I would like to hear Metallica do something like Aces High or maybe even like, let's say, I mean, something, definitely something from Iron Maiden. That's going to be my answer there. Aces High, I think. Aces High would be good to hear from them. Fast, got to be fast. Bruce Dickinson said it's absolutely fucking nightmare to play that song. It's the hardest song for him to perform live, and hey, it's one of their best songs. So, yeah, that would be my answer. Quote of the day here, all right, on National Puppeteer Day, hell, it's worth all that. Natural habitat, just a rhyme without a reason. Okay, well, if there was no Master of Puppets, then it would be Ride the Lightning, but there is a Master of Puppets. And I just listened to this song, and you spent 5 minutes and change telling me about how bad cocaine is, and then how it's worth all that. That's our quote of the day on National Puppeteer Day. That's going to do it for me. Episode 165, Got You Covered, is done. It's covered, done, in the fucking books. Hope you all enjoyed it. Enjoy the rest of the weekend. Hopefully we're getting some nice weather to come. Stay safe in your endeavors. If you're going anywhere that may cause you any issues, make sure you stay covered, stay quiet, and it's not over until it's over. You know what that means, Islander fans? I'm pulling for you. That being said, enjoy the rest of the day. I'm Deacon, and right now I'm out. For now.